Welcome, everyone. This is Corinne Zupko. Thank you so much for joining in for our weekly Course in Miracles study group time for all those of you that are here tonight and everybody listening in at a later date. So let's just take a few moments to spend together in silence as we turn to that love within. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, that will the Holy Spirit give. If we need a thought or a tranquil and still open mind, these are the gifts that we will receive. And we place the Holy Spirit in charge by our request. So coming together to our perception of this time and space. And we are just starting out with chapter 4. So we finished up chapter 3 last week, and we are at the very beginning of chapter 4 in the Sparkle edition. It's page 65. In the original edition, it's page 56. And in the FIP edition, it is page 52, although there's going to, again, be some similarities and a good amount, I think, of maybe not a good amount, but definitely differences with the FIP edition. So, again, it's chapter 4. In the Sparkle and Original editions, it's called The Root of All Evil. In the FIP edition, it's called The Illusions of the Ego. All right, so I'll start reading. The Bible says that you should go with a brother twice as far as he asks. It certainly does not suggest that you set him back on his journey. Devotion to a brother cannot set you back either. It can lead only to mutual progress. The result of genuine devotion is inspiration, a word which, properly understood, is the opposite of fatigue. To be fatigued is to be dispirited, but to be inspired is to be in the spirit. To be egocentric is to be dispirited, but to be self-centered in the right sense is to be inspired or in the soul. The truly inspired are enlightened and cannot abide in darkness. So I'll just pause there for a moment, and what comes forward for me in this paragraph, in the beginning of this paragraph where it says going, you should go with a brother twice as far as he asks, it certainly does not suggest that you set him back on his journey. Devotion to a brother cannot set you back either. That makes me think about the Course's use of the term charity, which is seeing someone further along than they actually are. Another way of putting that is that being willing to see the Holy Spirit in that other person, being willing to see the truth in that other person, because as we do that with another person, we're doing that for ourselves. So that's how it results in mutual progress. And I really like these sentences, too, about genuine devotion is inspiration and how when we're fatigued, we're actually dispirited. We're being egocentric at that point. And in the previous section that we read last week, I think it was last week, it talked about how we can't actually be tired. We can only, we're only capable of wearying ourselves. We're not actually capable of being tired, but we can believe we are. So that came up for me too. I think somebody else joined us. Anybody want to say hello?
Yeah, hi, it's Deidre.
Deidre, welcome. I thought it was you.
Yeah, I just got home from school at this time, so sorry.
Oh, not a problem at all. We're very glad you're here. We're at the very beginning of...
Hi.
Hi, Deidre. It's Paula.
Hi, Paula.
We're just at the very beginning of Chapter 4.
Okay, thank you.
So does anybody have anything to add about that paragraph? Anything that came up for you? Any questions? I'll keep reading. If anything comes up, feel free to jump in. You can speak from the soul, in other words, the Holy Spirit, or from the ego, precisely as you choose. If you speak from the soul, you have chosen to be still and know that I am God. These words are inspired because they come from knowledge. If you speak from the ego, you are disclaiming knowledge instead of affirming it, and are thus dispiriting yourself. Do not embark on foolish journeys because they are indeed in vain. The ego may desire them, but the soul cannot embark on them because it is forever unwilling to depart from its foundation. This actually brings up a question for me that I'd love to hear any input as to what your experience is of speaking from the Holy Spirit or speaking from the ego, and how we can tell the difference, or how you experience it differently. Does anybody have any thoughts about that?
I think it certainly depends on how you feel.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, are you feeling peaceful or judgmental?
Yeah, or like right now I'm feeling kind of worried because, you know, this cold and some other
mm-hmm,
things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's certainly not speaking from, you know, from the soul.
Right, right, when we're focused on our bodies. Yeah, it's like an ego, you know, a preoccupation with our bodies. That
yeah, it's a whole ego experience I'm
absolutely
going through right now. And,
absolutely.
You know, I'm hoping for a shift.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that's a good example of what you're talking about, you know, because when you feel worried or concerned, you know, you're in your ego.
Absolutely, absolutely. It also makes me think, too, I was thinking about that question for myself and how speaking from the Holy Spirit for me is within that space of sort of embodying I don't know. Like when I know nothing, that's when I feel like the Holy Spirit can come through the most. When I think I know or when I think I have it figured out, I can be pretty sure that that's my ego. So that's how it comes through for me, too.
So what does it mean by foolish journeys?
Foolish journeys. So in the FIP edition, it refers to foolish journeys as useless journeys. So that's another way of thinking of it. Useless journeys and foolish journeys are really anything that the ego desires. It says in that last sentence, the ego may desire them, but the soul cannot embark on them. It's foolish journeys are really anything that keeps us away from knowing what we truly are. And that's, if you think about it, kind of a lot of what we're doing here.
Yeah.
It totally is. I mean, that's, again, on a deep level, that's what the Course is teaching, that this whole world that we're in is, you know, a hiding place from truth. It's a big, gigantic distraction to keep us from looking to the truth within. So it's going to also, actually, in the next paragraph, the very beginning, the first sentence says, the journey to the cross should be the last foolish journey for every mind. I'm just going to keep reading this because this is going to help us answer your question. Do not dwell upon it, but dismiss it as accomplished. If you can accept it as your own last foolish journey, you are also free to join my resurrection. Human living has indeed been needlessly wasted in a repetition compulsion. It reenacts the separation, the loss of power, the foolish journey of the ego in an attempt at reparation, and finally, the crucifixion of the body or death. So that's saying that the actual, you know, the crucifixion was a foolish journey, and it's we act as if we're constantly being crucified. Obviously not in that big sort of way, but, you know, how often are we feeling attacked or unsafe? So we can look at that as, you know, the ego feeling like it's getting crucified all the time. And the Course is saying that this was all done the instant that we thought of it. It was all healed immediately. We just haven't accepted that yet. And we can, if we can accept it as just done and really just instead side with truth, you know, there's no need to learn through pain. The Course is saying very clearly, too, that we don't need to learn from pain. Unfortunately, that's how we usually do, because that's just, you know, that kind of stops and gets our attention. You know, like if you think of like how many people go through a dark night of the soul or hit rock bottom or some, you know, they go through some trauma before opening up to this kind of work. We usually come to study this because we recognize that, you know, things aren't working as they are, and there's got to be a better way. So, so does that,
right.
Does that clarify that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Very good. So the ego wants foolish journeys because it knows that it can keep our mind away from love and from truth and from the Holy Spirit.
I think it's kind of amazing because before I picked up the phone tonight, I asked for, you know, some clarification on the issues that I'm dealing with right now, and this surely... I'm on a foolish journey right now. So I think this is pretty amazing.
It's also, I don't know if it feels this way for you, but I know I put myself through many foolish journeys all the time. And for me, it's there's something, again, like a little bit reassuring, comforting to know that that's what this is, like that it's really nothing. I think it's something right now, but I'm just the one that's mistaken, and I'm slowly learning that correct, you know, the correct, through the Holy Spirit, the correct, right-mindedness. I'm slowly learning that.
My body is kind of confirming my, or it feels like my body is confirming these fears that I'm having.
Right.
So, all right, listen, why don't we just keep reading this, because I have a feeling this is all going to be...
Okay. And I have something, maybe I'll say it right now so I don't forget it, that I've shared a couple times recently that, you know, I was going through my own body sort of drama, and I recognized that I have, you know, I don't know exactly what you call it, but from time to time, needles really bother me. Like if I have to get a shot, in the past at times, they don't bother me at all. And other times, like I can almost pass out. And I had this sort of recognition that what you just said, Paula, about like your body affirming the fear, that's us calling forth those witnesses to fear. That's us calling forth those witnesses, just exactly what you just said, to prove that, like, yeah, if I'm suffering, of course I'm this body, you know, like it would be silly to think anything different. What came forward for me was that if I'm strong enough to call forth those witnesses to fear, I'm also strong enough to call forth those witnesses to love. And which, you know, when am I going to decide that, like, okay, you know, enough is enough. Like, you know, I'm again going to turn to the Holy Spirit. And so the last time that I was, you know, put in a situation facing a shot, I had that, you know, I want to call forth witnesses to love. I still felt nervous. It's not that in that particular case that the fear was totally gone, but instead I had those witnesses to love come forward. Like my husband magically didn't have to work this one afternoon, and he was like, oh, I'll come with you. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I didn't want to ask. It just sort of fell into place. The nervousness that I still felt for me was how the Course says, do not believe the picture. Like the picture is going to feel so real, but there's still, you know, if we can turn that picture over to the Holy Spirit, we start to get those little glimpses of kind of like being able to watch ourselves go through it, like witness it all. So I just wanted to throw that out there before I forgot. But yeah. Okay, so let's keep reading. So the repetition compulsion, I think that's where I am. Repetition compulsions can be endless unless they are given up by an act of will. Do not make the pathetic human error of clinging to the old rugged cross. The only message of the crucifixion was that we can overcome the cross. Unless you do so, you are free to crucify yourself as often as you choose. But this is not the gospel I intended to offer you. We have another journey to undertake, and if you will read these lessons carefully, they will help to prepare you to undertake it. I think it's so funny, the idea of a repetition compulsion. Like, that for me comes, the idea of, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting something different.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We keep looking here to try to fix, you know, to try to make it work.
Yeah.
We keep doing it over and over and over. And
yeah.
Guess what?
Oh, and if I just do this, or...
Right. If I just do it this way this time, then it'll be okay.
I'm keeping it going.
Yep. That's right. And where it says, too, you know, unless we, you know, give up this idea that we have to cling to the old rugged cross, it says, unless you do so, you are free to crucify yourself as often as you choose. That's where God doesn't interfere with what we, you know, have made, with what our desire is. God's waiting there for us to change our minds, because it sees and knows that what we think we're going through isn't real, isn't the truth. Okay. I'll keep going. Right teaching and right learning. We have spoken of many different human symptoms, and at this level there is almost endless variation. There is, however, only one cause of all of them. The authority problem is the root of all evil. Money is but one of its many reflections and is a reasonably representative example of the kind of thinking which stems from it. The idea of buying and selling implies precisely the kind of exchange that the soul cannot understand at all, because its supply is always abundant and all its demands are fully met. Yeah, that's pretty interesting. So it's just saying that money is an example of our thinking that, you know, that lack is real, that we can have and not have, whereas truth, our the Holy Spirit, you know, there's nothing but an abundant supply.
That's a tough one, because we're pretty steeped in that belief, just
living
in a capitalist society.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Oh, man.
And two, with the first sentence about how, you know, there's many different human symptoms, and at this level there's almost an endless variation, that makes me think how actually our former study group facilitator, Joe Coble, he used to say that this world is like a great big bazaar, and there are endless, you know, opportunities, roles, situations to, you know, come into, to try, oh, let me see in this lifetime if, you know, it'll work out this way if I'm famous, you know, then I'll be happy, or, you know, whatever it may be. So that made me think of that as well.
You know, this whole, this idea of money being one of the many reflections is so intensified right now with this whole presidential thing going on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And the economy and all this. Oh,
mm-hmm,
my God.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten, that's another thing I kind of allowed myself to get involved with. And I'm like, why am I doing this? Am I out of my mind?
Yeah. I'll say, too, the sentence where it says the authority problem is the root of all evil, actually the sentence before that even, however, there is only one cause of all of them, all of the different human symptoms. The one cause is the separation, you know, our belief in separation from God, which hasn't actually happened. And when it says the authority problem is the root of all evil, what that means, and again, the root of all evil, I am assuming it's quoting the Bible there, the authority problem is that question of, you know, who created me? And our belief here that we created ourselves, essentially, that it wasn't, you know, something greater than us that made us. So this belief that we created ourselves, that we are separate from love, from truth, is what the Course is referring to there with that quote.
I keep trying to counterbalance it all with God is. God
absolutely
is.
Yeah.
God is. That's
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing that matters. That's
mm-hmm.
the only thing that's true.
Yep. Yeah, well said. So simple. So simply said. Two words.
God is.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep. Love that. Okay, next paragraph. So every symptom which the ego has made involves a contradiction in terms. This is because the mind is split between the ego and the soul, so that whatever the ego makes is incomplete and contradictory. This untenable position is the result of the authority problem, which, because it accepts the one inconceivable thought as its premise, can only produce ideas which are inconceivable. The term profess is used quite frequently in the Bible. To profess is to identify with an idea and offer the idea to others to be their own. The idea does not lessen, it becomes stronger. I'm going to actually just keep reading this next paragraph because this keeps the idea here continues. A good teacher clarifies his own ideas and strengthens them by teaching them. Teacher and pupil are alike in the learning process. They are in the same order of learning, and unless they share their lessons, they will lack conviction. A good teacher must believe in the ideas which he professes, but he must meet another condition. He must also believe in the students to whom he offers his ideas. Many stand guard over their ideas because they want to protect their thought systems as they are, and learning means change. Change is always fearful to the separated ones because they cannot conceive of it as a change towards healing the separation. They always perceive it as a change towards further separation because the separation was their first experience of change.
Wow. Corinne.
Yes.
Now, a good teacher clarifies his own ideas and strengthens them by teaching them. Now, when I go out into the world, to the work world every day, or even with certain friends, mm-hmm. I wouldn't even consider bringing any of this up to them because of
mm-hmm.
the resistance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, am I mistaken?
No, and this isn't necessarily saying teaching them out loud. You know, it's by example. It's by your by what you're doing from your heart. That's
okay.
The teacher. Does that make sense?
Yes,
yeah.
And very often that is exactly what I will do in those situations is just call on the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm,
it's just like take it.
Yeah.
I'm in.
And,
you know, I'm in this. Please.
Yeah. Yeah.
Join our minds somehow. And
absolutely.
Usually what will happen is the subject will change.
Uh-huh.
You know, whatever is disturbing will just sort of shift to something lighter.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best I can do.
Uh-huh.
Because they can be a rough crowd, I'll tell you.
Yep. Yeah, that's perfect. That's perfect. When we hand it over and you know, bring it to the Holy Spirit, then things shift how we possibly could not have anticipated them to shift.
And very often, you know, I think it's the ego that's telling me, oh, get new friends, get away from these people.
Uh-huh.
No, that's not the message.
Right. The Holy Spirit is in them too. That's where that.
Of course.
I shared that. I shared this several weeks ago now, where I was having really struggling with somebody on the telephone. You know, going through their own version of insanity and feeling like I had to listen to it on the telephone. And in my head, I just kept going to that place. Like the Holy Spirit is in them. Period. I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit is going to make them do the right thing or the Holy Spirit is going to make them be different. You know, it's just the Holy Spirit is in them, period. And that's just what I was willing to see. And the whole situation then ended up, you know, shifting around to where at this moment I've been feeling pretty close with that particular person. So, yeah.
That's beautiful. Yeah,
yeah.
No agenda. Absolutely
right.
No agenda.
Right.
None
right.
whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And no prisoners either.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
That whole idea of they're free to think whatever they
mm-hmm.
want.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Exactly. Oh, go on.
What Earl says, you know, he teaches, and that strengthens his, you know, for him.
Yes.
You know, so he's learning as he's teaching, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's just strictly in A Course in Miracles teacher. That's all he does.
Yeah,
And, you know, he survives, you know. He, you know, by donations and whatever. But he was explaining that last week, too, you know, that mm-hmm. he teaches to keep reminding himself, you know.
Because,
mm-hmm. mm-hmm. so, you know, he still has his ego, too.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah.
We all do.
It didn't go
we
anywhere.
All do.
We all do. I love that. I saw him post that on Facebook once about, you know, I love teaching what I need to learn. And I so resonate with that because, I mean, I experience it.
Right.
That, I experience that as well. I feel like whatever, you know, I happen to say or share with somebody is what, you know, I need to learn. And, yeah, it's even with, you know, holding the space for the study group, there's been so many times when, you know, I've talked to somebody afterwards or even on the call and just being like, I feel like this is all for me in that I feel like it's that same thing that you just said, that
mm-hmm.
it's reinforcing things for me. It's exactly what I need to learn. Was anybody going to say anything? I thought I heard a breath.
Oh, it's me with this cold. I'm trying to keep my hand over.
Okay.
The illusion
you know
of
what
the cold.
What was that, Cindy?
When I said I think there's something up there I need to hear, you know, and he goes through his book to just get kind of a vibe to see what he should be talking about, you know, and
uh-huh.
direction from the Holy Spirit. So he picks the section, ending sickness. ending sickness. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I need to hear that.
Awesome.
I did need to come up here. And
wow.
It was just strange, you know. It was just with me all day. And then, you know, like I have a problem dreaming. I feel like I don't dream because I don't remember my dreams. And, you know, I keep saying to my sister here, how come I don't dream? I want to dream, you know.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, you will, just keep praying, you know. But I actually had a dream that night.
Wow.
And I'm like, I don't really remember it, but I was like, wow, I had a dream.
Wow.
But I just really don't dream. I don't know why.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I used to a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
It's been quite a few years.
That's
and people can wake up and tell you their dreams, and I'm looking at them like, how do you know? You know, how do you remember?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Very interesting.
I very rarely remember my dreams. Do you know much about dreams, Corinne? Do you,
not really.
I never.
Yeah, no, I never really got into any kind of dream interpretation. I mean, what comes up for me talking about dreams, and this is just what makes the most sense for me is what the Course says about them, and that is that our sleeping dreams and our waking dreams have different forms, and that's it. You know, just as we might be in a dream and it seems so real when we're dreaming it, that's the power of our mind to be able to create something that feels that real. And so then when you have that wake up, like, oh, it was just a dream, that's another, you know, way of looking at this dream state that we're in right now, in our waking state. Because the Course says that, you know, literally right now we're dreaming this. We've split off that part of our mind from God, and it's dreaming this crazy dream that didn't, you know, that didn't really happen. That's already over and done, but we think it's not. So one of those things that's hard to wrap your minds around. But anyway, that's really all I.
Our beliefs are very indicative of that.
Mm-hmm.
Am I not mistaken by that? I have a belief that I'm allergic to dust, right?
Mm.
And
so do I.
We are in the process of, there's a whole attic area at work that is being cleaned out. They're going to make new offices in there, and Technical Publications has files in there. And I have this belief, and it was just rattling around in the back of my head. I mean, and I didn't really look at it. I just know that it's there. Mm-hmm. And I had this belief last week. If I go in that file room to clean, I knew she was going to ask me to go in. Mm-hmm. And I had this belief that I would get sick from that, from breathing in that dust. Now, it wasn't all that logical, but it was floating around back there. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, I'm sick.
Mm-hmm. You made yourself
and
sick.
And I literally created it. But in a very, it's a very subtle kind of thing. I can't say to you that I, but right at the moment, I remember that thought flashing through my mind for just a nanosecond, you know.
Uh-huh,
didn't
uh-huh.
didn't even stop and say, oh, Holy Spirit, what is, what? Cancel that thought.
Right. Wow. I
Well, maybe you had that thought to not go in there because you knew you were going to get sick. Maybe you should have used it as like a warning.
Exactly, exactly. But I don't work in, I mean, the people that I work with are not, I mean, if you said to them, I have a dust allergy and I can't work in there. Oh, you might
not
as well.
Gonna fly.
You know, I figured, what the hell, I'll get a couple of days off.
You know, Paula.
Rather than come up against that.
Right, right. I completely relate. I have an allergy to ragweed, and apparently a pretty bad allergy to ragweed. And would you know that when I go on walks and I pass that open field of, you know, what I think is ragweed, like I can just look at it and feel a sinus headache. Like I can literally, I have a physical response. Well, what do you know? I found out that goldenrod looks just like ragweed. At least I can't tell the difference between them.
I've always thought that that's exactly what it is. Goldenrod and ragweed are the same thing.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. That yellow flower?
Yeah.
So then, okay, darn, my example's not going to work then, because I was going to say I was having
oh,
an actual...
Oh, no, I just really taught you something, Corinne. Oh, yeah.
All right, well, that's really
important
to the
ego.
Cancel. So the point being,
can you hear me?
Yes. Do you hear? Yes.
Okay. I just wasn't sure if Skype was... Oh, no. Hello, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay, good. I hear you again. Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry if Skype cuts out. I just wanted to share something really interesting about allergies.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't know if you are all familiar with Louise Hay, but she's...
Oh, yeah.
...very famous. And what she says about allergies is that... If you have an allergy, you are either allergic to someone or you're allergic to yourself who denies your power.
Mm.
And then she gives an affirmation to use with allergies. She says, "The world is safe and friendly. I am safe and I am at peace with life."
I love it.
Me too. Me too.
Would that work with selfish? I mean, I am allergic to selfish.
To what?
See, the thing...
Big time. I mean, I have to, like, go to the hospital and get shots.
So the thing is...
Try and just, like, shrimp.
Yeah. I love what you just shared, Deidre. It's perfect that, particularly the sentence, you know, allergic to yourself who denies your power. That's what mm-hmm. our ego is. Like, that's what our ego is doing. Our ego is denying our true power of our true real self. The thing is, Cindy, with what you just shared about, you know, having a severe allergy that could, you know, wind you up in the hospital, in course terms, we believe that we are these bodies. We believe we can intellectually say, oh, this isn't real, oh, this is just a dream, but we've made it real for ourselves. So that to me then means we have to be where we're at, you know, how we've talked about that before, like that this undoing of fear is a very, very gentle, very gradual process. So to jump from where we're at, which is, you know, I very much believe I'm Corinne, to jump to that to say, you know, ragweed, goldenrod, same thing now apparently, is not going to, you know, bother me. I'm going to go sniff some up my nose. Like, that's jumping from 0 to 100, and guess what? Like, that's gonna bother me. Like, this, we have to be where we're at. So, I guess I'm saying,
'cause I love shrimp. I would love to be able to eat shrimp, you mm-hmm. know, but I haven't eaten it in like 40 years
mm-hmm.
because of what happened to me when I was like a teenager, and I did have a couple instances just from. Like, I brought my son out to a Japanese restaurant,
uh-huh.
and they cook everything on the grill together, mm-hmm. you know? So I can't have shrimp, but they made my food where shrimp was. So I got, mm-hmm. like, the juice of the shrimp on it, and I was
oh, wow.
in the hospital.
Wow.
I didn't even know I was eating shrimp. I mean, I just blew up. Yeah.
I'm going to – I think this is a really good example. When I used to smoke, I believed in that addiction, let me tell you, totally. I wanted to stop. And somebody said to me, and I had tried many, many things many, many times, but somebody said to me towards the you know, when I was really had really cut down, somebody said to me, give every one of those cigarettes to the Holy Spirit. Don't stop smoking, but every time you light that cigarette, give it to the Holy Spirit. Just casually. And I started doing that. I got sick with bronchitis, and I couldn't smoke if my life depended on it. I could work. I could do everything, but I couldn't go near cigarettes because I was really feeling it. Within a month, it took me about a month to get over that. When I got over it, the entire desire for cigarettes was gone. And not only was it gone, but it was as if I had never done it. I could not
wow.
remember even doing it.
Wow.
Now, that was a very powerful example. As I had tried many, 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 many times before. And every time, you know, I'd stop for a week, I'd stop for 2 weeks, and that desire was just as strong as if I had never stopped. And handing that over to the Holy Spirit with that, and I wasn't trying to change anything. I gotta do that with this condition I have right now. Okay, thank you, Paula.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think I should give that over to the Holy Spirit, and
yeah,
then maybe
with,
I won't be allergic to shrimp?
Without any agenda. This idea of being allergic to shrimp, Holy Spirit, I give to you. And if you don't feel comfortable eating shrimp, don't go near it. But over time, see what happens. Every time you have that desire, you give that to the Holy Spirit. And over time, I'm telling you, Holy Spirit is very powerful.
I wonder, you know, how I would even try it without ending up at the hospital.
Well, yeah,
I'd be afraid to eat it because, I mean, it's bad. I have it bad.
For no other reason, if it's ever incorporated in your food in any way that you don't know about, you probably will not have a reaction to it.
Hmm. Wow.
I don't know. I don't know. All I do know is the experience I had with those cigarettes. And I think it was an absolute miracle.
I have a personal experience I could share if Skype doesn't cut out on me.
Oh, please do.
I've had, you know, issues with anxiety most of my life, but never never a known allergy, and in the summertime, I seem to be having a reaction, which I did research on, and I was thinking it was because I changed laundry soaps, and I thought, well, maybe my body is having a reaction to this laundry soap. And then I went online and I started doing a lot of reading about allergies, and this is where I came across Louise Hay and her affirmation about allergies. That's why I shared it just then, because it really
no.
helped me all my life not being.
We thought
I've
we lost
been,
you for a second,
lived
but
all
you're
my
lost,
life
yeah.
not. Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yep.
Now?
Okay, so I haven't had an allergy my whole life, and I decided that this can't possibly be the reason why I'm sick. And, of course, it wasn't the reason why I was sick. It was actually linked to my beliefs about a certain relationship and certain things that were going on in my life at that time that were making me believe that I had been victimized and that I had lost my power. It had nothing to do with the laundry soap. But what
yeah.
the ego does is when we have like someone in authority say, oh, you're allergic to dairy, for example, we have a label put on something, and that's we can often call that the problem instead of going inside of ourselves and dealing with what's going on inside of us. We can label it an outside problem and not really deal with what's going on inside. Now, I'm not saying that for Cindy, you should go from 0 to 100 and go start eating shrimp. But
right.
maybe one thing to do would be examine the fear of eating that food and what that fear emotion brings up for you, because it could date back to something that happened a really long time ago.
Well, this happened when I was like 13. I think it was around 13, and I don't really remember eating shrimp all the time. We went out to some dinner and they had shrimp cocktail, and I'm like, wow, this is good. And I just like ate an overabundance of it. And the next morning, I was just blown up in hives and swelled, and we didn't know what it was. And my mom brought me to the doctor, and he said, that, did you eat anything that you don't normally eat? And so they connected it with that. So he said, you're highly allergic to shellfish. Stay away from it. So I have all my life, and now I'm 52. What's that, 40 years?
Yeah.
But I've had a couple of times in between, you know, like I said, it got on my food, and I got a reaction. I didn't even know I was eating it.
Mm-hmm.
So I've stayed away from it.
Yeah, I love, Deidre, what you said, and if I were to put it, you know, into my own words, what I heard you saying is that the cause is never out there, and that's what the Course is teaching us,
yeah.
that there's nothing
yeah.
out there that's causing us anything. It's all coming from our split mind, our belief, again, that this is real, and our belief in the separation. So, you know, the Course is saying, take everything, take the shellfish, the affirmation, like bring it all, keep bringing it all to the Holy Spirit. And the Course quote that comes to mind for me too is that, and Paula, you said this before about not having an agenda. That's so
yeah.
important, because the minute we decide, like, you know, whatever little ailment it might be, like bodily thing, like as soon as we're like, oh, you know, I need this ankle healed, or, you know, this whatever healed, and it's not happening, like, you know, I'm not doing it right or whatever, the Course says, do not believe the picture. It says that over and over and over, and it says that to doubt a healing because of the continue what's the exact, I try to remember the exact quote, to doubt a healing because of continued symptoms is a mistake in the form of lack of trust. It says something to that effect, that to doubt a healing because of the, you know, ongoing physical issues. So if you're judging that I still have this problem and therefore I am not healed, the Course is saying, no, don't look to the picture, only look within, this picture level is this dream, and, you know, the cause isn't out there. It's from our
I wonder where that is in the book.
The do not believe the picture, the to doubt a healing. I can locate it for you. I very much like searching the online FIP, not FIP, ACIM editions, and I happen to be on the online FIP edition right now. And you type in a couple words, and you can usually find what you're looking for. And it looks like I've searched for that before, because it came right up. Here it is. It's in the Manual for Teachers. It says one of the most, this is in the Manual for Teachers, Part 7, Should Healing Be Repeated? It's paragraph 4. One of the most difficult temptations to recognize is that to doubt a healing because of the appearance of continuing symptoms is a mistake in the form of lack of trust. As such, it is an attack. Usually it seems to be just the opposite. It does appear unreasonable at first to be told that continued concern is attack. It has all the appearances of love, yet love without trust is impossible, and to doubt and trust cannot coexist. This, to put this into an example, this just occurred for me with my mom several weeks ago. She gets migraines, and what came forward for me was that if I start worrying about her, I'm only reinforcing the error that she is my mom, that she is a body,
yeah,
and that I am Corinne, and I am a body too. And so instead of worrying, I chose to take my thoughts, my feelings, everything, and look to the Holy Spirit instead and be willing to see the Holy Spirit in her. So it was just – and then my peace came back – So yeah, it's a really powerful quote from the Course.
Thank you so much for that.
You're welcome.
Deidre, can you say that affirmation again? I wanted to write that down.
The affirmation.
I lost her. I can't hear her.
She's coming back.
Affirmation is safe and at peace with life.
Can you say it again? You cut out.
I'm sorry.
Sure. I'm sorry. The world is safe and friendly. I am safe. I am at peace with life.
Love it. Did you get it, Cindy?
I am at peace with...
with life.
Life.
Okay. Okay, thank you. I'm going to try that because I do like shrimp. If I could eat it again, I would love it.
Just remember,
they even tell me that the dye that they use for, like, scans, CAT scans and stuff, he told me never to get that because it's made with shellfish.
Mm.
And it would be like a direct injection into me, and he said I would literally die. I'm like, okay, wow. So if I ever need a scan done, I got to tell them that.
Right. Wow.
True. How did we get on allergies?
Well, I learned something tonight. I learned that goldenrod and ragweed are the same thing. That's so funny.
I'm probably wrong about that.
Well, no.
I've always heard.
I heard that somebody said, "Oh, that's goldenrod, not ragweed," and I googled goldenrod and then googled ragweed. They looked identical to me, so I have a feeling you guys are right. but yeah. All righty. DJ, was that you?
I wasn't going to say anything.
Oh, okay. Alrighty. Let's see. I guess we're at the top of the hour, so I won't read anymore. This has been great. Thank you, everybody. Does anybody have anything else to add or to share before we wrap up?
Just thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
It's such a big help.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it.
Yes, yes. Oh.
See you
next
week.
As I said, absolutely. We'll see you next week. As you said, as we were talking about Earl Purdy, anything that is going on here is what I need to learn. So it's always perfect. So thank you, everybody, so much for sharing in the space with me.
Thank
you, Corinne.
Thank you. Talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.